Okay, today's daf is Peah daf Chaf Ches 28, and we will start with the bottom of Chaf Chazayin of Abayz by the Mishnah, right after the Mishnah. And again, today's shiur is sponsored anonymously in honor of their parents and with immense gratitude to the OU for their work in all aspects of Jewish life. So we had the Mishnah yesterday, which the Gemara on Amud Aleph already discussed, but the Mishnah came up on Amud Beis, and the Mishnah discussed onions. If somebody plucks out and harvests onions, but has different purposes in mind for each of the onions. First, the Salam Lachim, he takes onions, he has in mind to take some of them to the marketplace to sell, and then to leave others in the ground. So the Mishnah said that one leaves payah for each and every, for each group, even though they're all onions. But still, no sin payah lasman, payah lasman. And we said on Amud Aleph that this is even according to the Rabbanan. Right, even if you say that in the previous Mishnah, there's a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan about if some of the klachim, the menamer asadeu case, where some of them were ripe because of the fertilizer and some of them weren't ripe, so that's a machlokas. The chachamim say there that that's one pay alakol. You look at the beginning of the harvest as one. Rabbi Akiva says that's two, but they would agree here that there are separate payas because there's different purposes in mind. If I have a group of onions that I'm going to sell in the marketplace and a group of onions that I'm going to take home to eat with my family, that's called two different gorens, and therefore one would have to leave two different payas. Again, and remember, in all these cases, we might not be talking about difference in quantity. It's just a question of from where. Because if you look at it as one big thing, as 1/60th midrabanan of the whole area. If it's looked at separately, then it's 1/60th of this and 1/60th of that. So it might not be lacking anything, but in terms of how we look at it. And l'chora, the aniyim would have to, you know the halacha, or just you'd have to put up a sign that what's peah, because the aniyim aren't going to know, you know, every detail about what's how many peahs you have to leave, one or two, is there peah on the other side? But remember the four different reasons we had from the Tosefta all the way at the beginning that we mentioned, the four reasons why l'chadchila, one is supposed to leave peah on the edge of the field. Gezel aniyim, bittel aniyim, marasayin, right, all of those reasons. But again, l'chor, in a society where really it works through payah, which again, Bizman Azeh, we said the Shulchan Aruch quotes, it doesn't work through payah today anyway, because aniyim aren't waiting at the edge of the field. They don't want grain. They want money. Right? So that's why we don't do it anyway, Bizman Azeh. But that is the, that was the chilek that we had in the sheet of the Rabbanan. Then we also mentioned this applies to beans and grapes also, v'chein bafun and v'chein v'kerem. And then we spoke about meidel. Meidel comes up on tomorrow's daf, not today's daf. That's a case where we thin out, where we're thinning out the harvest. That's not called a katsira. There's no chiv of peah. If I'm just, I'm doing the same exact physical act. I'm cutting and harvesting, but because the kavana is to thin, so then there's no chiyav of peah from that, right? Only a kotzer if I'm planning to, the main point of my cutting is for consumption. And then finally, machlik me'achas yad, if it's all, you know, one, the contrast to the shuk and goren, so then I only have to give peah from one. Okay, tani hamerug. So there's a Tosefta. The Tosefta says, if somebody is Meirog, what is Meirog? Hard word to translate. But if somebody is Meirog, then they have to give payah at the beginning and at the end. What's Meirog? So the Mefarshim quote that we have, it's an Unkelis. Unkelis teaches us what this word Meirog is. Unkelis in, not Unkelis, Targum. One of the Targumim. Unkelis, the Targum that we have on Navi is not Unkelis. Unkelis, we have the Targum on Torah. But the Gemara Megillah talks about the Targum, different Targumim we have. Targum Yonasan, Targum Yisrael Ben Uziel, Targum Yerushalmi. One of the Targumim on Shmuel Beis for the word Kishamtu Habakar. The Mara Folda discusses. Kishamtu Habakar, when it slipped out from the cattle. What's that talking about? That's the story of Peretz Uzzah. The tragic story where the Plishtim sent back the Aron on the wagon, and now Klai Yisrael were bringing the David HaMelech. It was supposed to be a happy time, a happy parade, and they start bringing the wagon with the Aron up to Yerushalayim, and tragedy strikes. The Aron starts slipping off the wagon with the animals, and all of a sudden Uzzah goes to grab the Aron in order to catch it, and he's killed at that time. What exactly did Uzzah do? Good question. But the language there about what it says Shamtu Habakar, when it slipped out, the targum is Are Morigu Habakar, right? That it slipped from the cattle, slipped out of its place. That's Miruk, which is another fancy word of saying harvesting. You took it out of its place. You you cut it, right? And that's the that's Moreg, right? If you look also in the Pnei Moshe, he quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu, he samtich lo Moreg charutz, vu kli mali nekavim, vidashin ba tvua, you thresh the tvua, and you take off the klipa from the bar, that's a threshing, you take off the shell from the inside, and vikan hu gamkin me'inyan mechatech u mechalik v'shnei dvarim, right? You're separating, it's slipping out. Interesting, Lashon, that targum is quoted by the Radak, on that pasuk in Shmuel Beis. Shmuel Beis in our discussion, Shmuel Beis, it says there that Vayavar Goran Oka Nachon, Vayishlach Uza, Alarona Lokim, Vayochas Baki Shamtu Abakar. Uza went to grab the aron so it wouldn't fall. Vayichala David, Alasher Parat Hashem Peretz Beuza. David got very upset. And they called the Peretz Uza Adayam Azet, then they had to wait for the Aaron to get a sign from Hashem that it was time to retake the Aaron. But the Radak there, you can't learn Navi without Radak. Right? The Radak is defining. The Radak is crucial for any study of Navi. So the Radak there in Sefer Shmuel quotes this Targum, Miragoi, which relates to our Yerushalmi here in Peah, and then discusses what was the problem, right? Uza was punished. What was the issue? Again, it's a big topic. Well, let's just do the Radak. V'yava b'shabar and misadei plishtim b'zeh inyan. What was the problem with taking the aron on the wagons? Chazal say, it says in the Torah that you have to take it b'kasev yiso. You have to take the aron on your shoulders. So it was a bizayin to put it in the wagon. Right, Klomer, and his parkway, very ambiguous aron. It wasn't just the aron slipped out, that the limbs of the cattle, of the oxen that were walking, their limbs started separating from each other, from the kedusha of the aron. Shamtu is not just on the aron, but it's from the cattle. Shamtu, a bakar. Right, the bakar. Shaloya roish yeh nisa bagala shiim shuchu a bakar. It's inappropriate that the aron is being carried by the cattle. Ela bekisvi halavima yeroy lios nisa. And then it says, "Va'afal pishabar aron bistei plishtim b'zeh inyan." And even though the plishtim sent the aron on a wagon, and the bakar were fine on the way here, says the Radak, "Plishtim lahi yodim binag masa aron." Well, the plishtim weren't supposed to know. They're not supposed to know Torah. They're not supposed to have to put it on the shoulders. So then we're not going to blame. Hashem's not going to blame the plishtim. V'kivnu b'maso b'mutav asher yichlu. They were trying the best they can. They sent it back. They wanted to give the aron back to Klal Yisrael. Shei lachu agala chadasha uparz asher lo ala le'enol. Remember, they put it in a new wagon and they used oxen that were never worked before. So they were given it covered. Aval Yisrael shayu yodim masa ha'aron k'moshe kasa b'Torah. But b'nei Yisrael, who should have known better, v'lo v'nei kahas lo nasan ki avodas hakodesh. So, Bnei Yisrael sinned by putting it on the wagon. So Hashem showed them the Kedusha in two ways. Number one, by the Bakar kind of getting their organs, their limbs getting dislocated, and by Uzzah dying. So how did they make this mistake though? It was David HaMelech. David HaMelech didn't know Pasuk in Chumash? Of course he did. So the Radak continues. V'ya'ina asher shaga David b'zeh adav ar mikra mefurash. Chashav. How did David make a mistake in a mefurash Pasuk? Chashav ki lo yiyachit b'zeh imse'u b'agala. David thought there's no problem putting it on the agala. Avo v'shakasa b'kasev yiso. Even though it says carried on the shoulders, a very important message. Hashkafically, that could be expanded. Ki amar ba'oso zman ba'midbar tziva akel. Maybe Hashem only commanded the aron should go on the shoulders in the times of the midbar. Ki lefishaya mishkan nisa bagalos. The boards of the mishkan were carried on the wagons, so the aron had to be higher than that. The aron had to be, in relative terms, the aron had to be higher. Tziva lasis aron bakasiv laharos ki kedushas aron gedola mikdushas mishkan. To show us that the aron is higher level than the mishkan. But at a time in the days of David where there were no boards, the only thing that was being carried was the aron. You could put that on the wagon, right? You only have to put it on the shoulders if you have other stuff on the wagon. But if you have nothing on the wagon, this is nothing. This is it's all the only thing that you're carrying. So then why should you have to put it there? Mishkan chashav shein chetim yisu bagala. In other words, the Bali Musar explained this Radak. David thought it was a relative idea to put it on the shoulders. It only has to be on the shoulders if there's other stuff on the wagons. But no, it's an absolute idea. It has to be on the shoulders, period. It doesn't matter if there's nothing else going on, if there's nothing else being carried. But that all flows from our word, Our word here in the Gemara, Merog. What's Merog? That's the Targum on the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis and Perek Vav that the Mara Folda quotes here, and that's the message that we learn from that Radak on that Pasuk, Kishamtu Habakar. So let's get back to our discussion now. Says the Gemara. So on Merog, this Tosefta says, if something slips out, and that's a fancy way of saying, as we'll see, harvesting, either slipping it out, threshing it, taking the seeds out from the shells, taking the kernels out from the shells, or just harvesting it, you have to give pay at the beginning at the end. You have to give two payas. So what does that mean? A, the I dino merug. What is merug? What is the halacha? So 2 days in the Gemara. The first one means it's exactly our Mishnah. The first shot of the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya tells us that the Tosefta is telling us the exact same halach as our Mishnah. Ki adah detanina, like we learned in our Mishnah. Hamachlik b'tzalam lachim lashok u'mekayim yaveshim lagoren. Right, in our Mishnah, if I harvest onions, but some of them are going to be for the marketplace, and some of them are going to be for my own home, and I have different purposes, and the ones for my own home I'm going to leave in the field a little longer in order to dry out. So that's Merog. And you have to give Peah Betchila, that means the first group you harvest, and Basof, the second group you harvest. Fine, according to Rabbi Yirmiya, that Tosefta is exactly alluding to the halacha of our Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yossi says no. Different shot of the Tosefta. Different shot. Hadin Kitzcha. Right, what's Hadin Kitzcha? So, says the Ras Sirlio, Zera Butzel. It's an onion seed. A seed of an onion. Seems, as the Gemara is going to explain, when we planted onions, you first put the seed of an onion in the ground, and that develops into small onions. Then if I want to make big onions, I'll take one of those small onions and replant it, and then it will come out to be big onions. So what the Tosefta is telling us, according to Rabbi Yossi, is that each of those require their own peya. The small onions, you're not going to use all of them, but the small onions deserve get their own peya also. You don't just skip it and say, oh, I'm doing it to replant, so therefore there's no peah that has to be left from the small onions. No, the small onions eat and the big onions eat. That's what the Tosefta is referring to of Chayev B'tchilos of Chayev B'sof. Let's read it now. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Hadin Kitzcha, this seed of an onion, Kad Adzarale Hu Avid Batzel Dakik. When you first plant it, it makes a small onion. Kad Atshasale, when you replant the, right, shtil is to replant, like a shtila, hu avid basal rav, then it makes a bigger onion. So, that's what the Tosefta is telling me, right, the small onions and the big onions get their own peya. Says the Gemara, what, that's a chiddush? I wouldn't have known this? Dilokain ma'anan amrin. Without this, what would I have said? What would I have said? That why would I have thought that the small onions are pater? Hoel Vehu Lizria Yehe Pater Min Hapeya. Because the small onion would be for planting, you wouldn't have to give peya. The Ras Ilio says, it's not called food. Remember one of the five requirements. It has to be food. Ochel, that's the first one on the list. Where was that? Back? Should we remember that? What daf's that on? That was a daf Yud Beis or so? Right? The five conditions. Five conditions for, five ingredients for peah. Yeah, Mishnah, Yud Beis Amud Aleph, in the new Oz Vahadar, version, right? Number one, Klal Lamer Bepeah, calls you Ochel, Vinishmar, Vikidulo Min Aretz, Likazo Ka'achas, Umachlis Lakiyim. Right? Each one of those are coming up every so often in these dafim. So number one has to be food. So, suggest the Gemara, based on the Ras Sirlio, maybe if I plant it in order to replant it, that's not called Ochel. That's not called food. So, is that the Havamina? But the Gemara says, no. Don't you take some of your wheat kernels also and replant them? So you're going to tell me wheat is not chayv and peya? Of course wheat's chayv and peya. But you take some of your wheat after it grew and replant it too. Right? That's how many things grow. How do you replant an apple tree? You take some apple seeds. How do you plant avocado? Right? Many times you take the seed or the pit of a fruit and you replant it. So says the Gemara, v'chitin lav lizria, lo lizria ninu. So you take wheat kernels also which are designated for planting, and yet they're all chayv and peya. So what's the havamina to say that these small onions are not chayv and peya? Right? Even though they are going to be used for replanting, aren't they food? So answers the Gemara, no, there's a difference between the wheat and the onions. Chitin ruban lachila. Most of the wheat is going to be eaten. Most of the wheat is going to be eaten. And therefore, you have a couple of kernels, a couple of stalks, whatever, that are going to be replanted, they're batel. right? Rove is going to be used for eating, and therefore the whole grain, the whole field is going to be called food. Vizeru balazria. And this, by the small onions, it's mostly going to be used for replanting. So that's the Havamina. That's why I might have thought that it's not chayiv and peya, because most of it is used for replanting for Zriya. Kamash v'lod it is chayiv. Remember, this is all in the Havamina. Right, the Gemara asks, no, why does the Tosefta have to tell me this according to Reb Yossi? Right, the second shot of this Tosefta. Why do you have to tell me? Just, you know, it's just like the wheat. So the answer is no, because most of it's not used lachila, most of it's used lizria, so I would have thought it's not called ochel. Kamash malan, it is. Kamash malan, it is edible. It can be eaten. And even though I'm planning to replant it, at that moment it is called food, so the aniyim have the rights to it. And therefore I have to leave Peah. Period. This doesn't have to do with, I mean, the concept of Rov is a Din D'Oraisa. Interesting. The Sefer HaChinuch, the volume one of Minchas Chinuch. The Chinuch talks about, we know, Hol Chinuch or HaRov, and Bittul Barov, and Rubo Kekulo are all different types of usages of Rov. They all connect to each other, and Baba Kama. They all connect to each other in a general way, right? Achri Ram Lahato, as the Pasuk says. But the way that it's used is different, right? The difference between Rubo Kekulo and Hochen Achar Rov is already spoken about by the Achronim at the beginning of Sukkah, where Rashi seems to say that the whole sukkah is defined. If you have shade on most of your sukkah, so then it's defined as totally covered because of Hochanach Arov. It really means Rubo Kekulo. I thank you. The first stipler in the Masechta. If I could find it quickly. And but again, that it all flows from here. Ayin Ches. Ayin Ches in the Sefer HaChinuch. Acharei Rabim. Right, that's Rove. Lintos Achrei Rabim. U Kishipo Machlokas Ben Achachamim B'dim Medina Torah. It's a Din D'Oraisa. Din D'Oraisa to follow the Rove. But coming out of that are all these other dinim of following the Rove. And if somebody does not follow the Rove, Mivatel Asei. Va'onsho Gadol Ma'od. That's by Dayanim. But flowing from that are all other areas of following the Rove. And including here. Here's the din of defining something in the Havamin only, right? Defining something as food or not food, you go by most of what it is used for. There is an interesting, unique application of Rov, and that's Rov by Dayanim. Rov by Dayanim. There's a Tosis in Baba Kama on Daf Chav Zayin, where the Gemara there says, as it says in Sanhedrin 2, Ein Hochim B'mamon Achar Rov. You don't follow the Rov by the Rov by monetary law. Ein Hochim B'mamon Achar Rov. You follow the Rov by Bezdin. You follow the Rov by Bittel. But you don't follow the Rov by Dinim Amanus. Meaning, if I sell you an ox, Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. But if I sell you an ox, and you were planning to use the ox in your field to plow, but I thought you were buying the ox because you were going to shech the ox and eat it, because it's a crazy ox. It doesn't plow well. It just goes nuts. It just goes crazy. So you're saying it's a mekatos. I don't understand. I bought this to work. But I said, no. I sold this to you to kill. So the Gemara says, Ein Hochem Amanach HaRov. You don't follow the Rov. And even if the Rov buys it for one way, you don't have to follow that. Ein hokam harov, but we say motzi b'chavrei levaraya. Fine. Ask Tosfos. Ein hokam mamonach harov. You're not motzi mamon based on rov. What do you mean? You kill people based on rov, right? If you have a bezdin 13-10 and the bezdin of 23, you'll kill somebody based on rov. How could you not be motzi mamon based on rov, right? Isn't that like obvious, right? If you could kill somebody, that's the most chamor. So Tosfos answers that's different. When it's 13-10 in a bezdin, that's not rov. That's not Rov. That's Kol. Because when Bezdin makes a psak, that's Rubo Kekulo. That's not Holchen Achar HaRov. That's what Tosva says. Very important Tosva. Tosva says, here, Chav Zayin HaBeis, Yish Lomar, Tehazim Gabay Dayanim, Shiny, Tehashiv Miyut, Dithu, Kamisha Eino. The minority there is Ke'ilu, it's not there. Kamisha, what does that mean? So Reb Chaim in the Gracha Lashas explains that there are two stages in a psak of Bezdin. When Bezdin is discussing it in the Masa Umatan, so then they're all individuals and they're all fighting it out and they're all starting, trying to say this Svara and that Svara and this Raya. They're going back and forth. But once Bezdin comes to a conclusion and they paskin Chayiv and they paskin Pater, that's a composite. That's a composite Psak. Bezdin comes out with a Psak. It's not that 13 judges paskin this way and 10 judges paskin that way. No. the miyat is kamisha eino. The miyat loses its identity. That's only in the first stage of the masa umatan. But once Bezin comes out with a psak, that's the chiddush of Tosfos. That rov bidayanim is kamisha eino. And therefore, we might call it ruba kakulo. At first it's hochan rachra rov, and then it's ruba kakulo. And he uses that to answer a question of the Mordechai, not for about a rove and kavua, but that the rove comes up often, so here it comes up also in the havamina of defining it, as food or not, kamash malan, one has to give a peya even from that. Okay, so we have a machlokas between Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Yossi, what the pshat of the Tosefta is. Is the Tosefta just telling us what the Mishnah said? Right? The Meirog taking Betchila and Basof, or is telling me something new about these onions? So the Gemara says, 1 second, I'll die to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Kasha and Rabbi Yirmiyah. The Mepharshim say maybe this could have been even asked on our Mishnah. Right? Kasha. Yerachai Bepeya? We're talking about onions. Aren't onions vegetables? Didn't we say vegetables are not Chayv and Peya anyway because they're not they don't stay long. So aren't onions a violation? Then onions aren't going to be chayv and pay anyway. Answer: mino machnisa lakiyim. Right, the dry onions would be able to stay in storage. So therefore, even the moist onions, which cannot stay in storage, they're chayv. Because you look at the whole type of vegetable. You don't look at the specific way that you are using the vegetable, moist or dry, because the dry ones could be machnas lakiyim, so that is good enough to say that the entire type is a chayv. Look on the Ras Sirlio. If you're going to tell me, because when they're ripe, when they're dried out, they stay. So all vegetables. Okay. So says the, but that's the question the Mepharshim deal with. Okay. So that's a comment in Rabbi Yirmiyah. My Avalei Rabbi Yossi. What about Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi is the one that gives the other pshat. We're not sure if he holds of this yisod, that you would go by the type. So what about him? So the Rabbi Yossi says, no, gomor hu, ve'ena mechuser el liyabesh. In the Mishnah, they're fully grown. And they themselves can be dried and stored. Right? It's not just that, oh, the type of vegetable, if you left it growing, and other types in the species could be machnis lakiyim. Even these, Rabbi Yossi says, could be machnis lakiyim. Gomer, they're fully grown, right? In our Mishnah, we weren't sure about that. It said lachim and yevashim. They're fully grown in our Mishnah, so they themselves could be machnis lakiyim. But if you would leave them, they could be dried and stored. But, that's why it's not a problem to say that they're chayiv and peyah. So it seems to be a machlokas of Yirmiyah and Rabbi Yossi. Do you look at just the potential of this group of vegetables that you harvested? Could this group be machnis lakiyim? Or even if these cannot be machnis lakiyim, but the larger group, onions in general, not these specific onions, could be kept for in storage. So that would be make it chayiv and peyah. So again, that's a question. We discussed that right when we learned that on Daf Yud Beis, I think, or maybe earlier, we discussed what happens if you have a modern process that can make them machnis lakiyim. Right? What if you could dry them, maybe drying them in a way that, earlier generations wouldn't be able to keep them for so long. So would that now make them machnis lakiyim? Right, we'll have to wait and see what the poskim say about that. Right, the Rambam said at the beginning of Amanas Aniyim, he said miyubashin, I think. He said one of the cases was dried out. So again, what if you could do that for other types of vegetables today? So we'll have to see what the halacha is. Right, in the Perek Beis, halacha Beis. Right, shumin ubitzalim chayavim bepeya ar bitzalim. Shari miyabshin osan umachnisin osalakiyim. You could dry them. So maybe in those days you weren't able to dry certain other, I don't know, cucumbers and peppers and those kinds. You couldn't dry them. So maybe that's why they're not going to be chayavim bepeya. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara Tani, says the Braisa. Similar Braisa appears in Meseches Chulin. One line. This one line Braisa is about leket, which Bezrin will come up a lot later in the Masechta, right? Leket shechen peah. Leket are the gleanings. The gleanings that, the single stalks that fall out of my hand or fall under the cutting instrument. We'll have to get to the details. Leket, kitzircha v'lo leket kituf. The leket of your gleanings that you cut, and not leket, that kituf that you just ripped out with your hand. Right, the marafulda, oker biyado. Right, the chiv of leket is only when you cut it with a kli. But if you ripped it out with your hands, so then there is no chiv of leket in that case. This is a huge discussion in the Rambam, and other mafarshim. Because if you look in the Rambam says here, Haya kotzer perek dalet halacha beis. Haya ezo leket halacha aleph. Ezo leket zanofel mitoch hamagal b'shas kisira, that which falls from the scythe. B'shas kisira o anofel mitoch yado shikabet hashibalam v'yiksar, or that falls from your hand. Haya kotzer biyado below magal. It's not leket. Hanofel mitoch yado ain't a leket. If you cut without a sickle or scythe, aval hatolish dvarim shetolshin osan. But if you're tolesh, if you pick something, you've ripped something out that's supposed to be ripped out with your hand, then it is leket. So is the Rambam understanding this brisa as only something that's normally cut with a cutter, so that if you rip it out with your hand, that's called an unusual type of harvest, and that's not chayiv and leket. Right. Is there a difference between leket and peah? Right, the Radvaz here discusses. Right, and the Kesa Mishnah discusses. Because we learned earlier, if you remember, oker is chayiv and peah. If I rip it out from the ground, it is chayv and peah. We don't say it is, it's pater. Just because, right, that we had that on Yud Beis and Aleph, just like we alluded to before. Ainli ela kotzer, tolesh minayin tamalomar liksar, oker minayin tamalomar ketzircha. So for peah, any type of ripping out of the ground is going to be chayv. So is there a difference between leket and peah? So the Mefarshim try to figure out the Rambam. Is there a difference between derech and not derech, leket and peah, trying to put the Rambam's together, right? That's what the Minchas Chinuch discusses in Mitzvah Reish Tezayin. But let's continue. Reb Zeira b'chiyah b'shem Reb Yochanan amalaki shibalim li'isaso. If somebody is harvesting ears of grain, shibalim li'isaso, just for his own little dough. He wants to make a little dough in his house. Afilu kol shehu, patur min hapeah. Even just a little bit, you're patur from peah. Because it's not derech to harvest such little amounts. So if I'm harvesting such little amounts, so then that's not going to be chayiv and peah, right? We've learned a number of points already today about what's called a harvest. Maybe it wouldn't be called a harvest if I'm harvesting in order to reharvest it. Right? That was the Hava Mina. Right? Maybe it's not called a harvest if it's not the normal way to harvest. Maybe it's not called a harvest, a halacha kitzira, if I'm only doing it very little at a time. Rebbe Lazar Omer, afil b'magal. Even if you're using a kli, a scythe, right? If it's just a little bit at a time, that's not going to be chayiv and peah. Meaning, eventually, when I harvest the rest of the field, I only have to give 1/60th from what's left. Not from the little bit that I took. Amar, Reb Yossi v'hu shashir. Reb Yossi says, even if you're taking a little bit at a time, you're only pater from peah as long as there's some still left standing. If you harvested your entire field with nothing left, even little by little, that's not going to work. Reb Yossi says, that's a limit. That's a limit. You have to not have harvested the entire thing to have this patur kick in. Says the Gemara, really? Fatani, but didn't we learn in Brisa? If somebody has a number of vines, who boats run and he harvests them, and he's taking them into his house just for private usage. Pater mina peret, he's pater from peret. Peret are the single grapes that fall down. Again, because this is called a personal ketzira, maybe you're not chayiv in all these mitzvahs. And then the next four words, the Tosefta itself does not have. It's hard to know whether it should be there. Umin ha'arla, umin ha'ravai. Arla and ravai. Hard to say that would depend on how you harvest. Arla, the first 3 years, the fruit is asr bana. What does that have to do with your harvesting? It's asr, you don't do anything. It grows. So it's hard to say that how you harvest that it's going to affect. That's why pashas, we take out this girsa. We take them in arla, we take them in ravai. Ravai is the fourth year fruit that goes with arla often. So let's take those out for now. The chayev ba'ololos. But it says your chayiv and olos. Ololos are the inferior clusters of grapes that the balabais doesn't really want anyway. Right? They just stay there. So those belong to the anim even before you cut it also. They grow inferiorly, and therefore, again, it has nothing to do with your harvesting. So that's going to be chayiv and olos. But question mark, what do you see from this brisa? It sounds like you're going to be putter even if you harvest all your grapes, little by little. Right? You bring them in. Right, Reb Yossi said that only if shashier, you're going to be pater, only if you left some, while this brisa seems to say you're going to be pater from peret and right, and we're assuming that's the same thing, and you know that's as paya. So what's the difference? So two answers. Number one, Amar Reb Yudin, kan b'gemuros, kan b'shein gemuros. Well, it depends if it is ripe or not. If it is all ripe or not. If they're totally ripe, so then even if you do it little by little, that would. So if they're totally ripe, you have to make sure to leave some. If they're not totally ripe, so then even if you do the whole thing, they weren't totally ripe anyway. So that's still not called a harvest in that case. That's how Rav Chaim Kanievsky explains. Imlikid asadeh kula. If you did the whole this field, if it's already ripe, chay bepeya dezu lav arayhu. That's not a rye. But if you left some, it's called a. It's still. If you didn't leave any, it's called a. It's not called a katsira. V'chulu avilu im lo shir lav katsira. But if they're not ripe, then you could still do the whole thing. Number one, Amar Reb Yossi. This is a different Reb Yossi than we're talking about. The Reb Yossi four lines up. This is a different amora. Amar Reb Yossi afilu teima kan v'kan gemuros kan v'kan b'sheina gemuros. Doesn't matter whether they're both ripe. They're both not ripe. I'll tell you a different chilek between Reb Yossi. Again, Reb Yossi who says you have to leave some over. And the brisa that says you don't have to leave any over. Taman, the brisa, kshepikesh la'ochlan anavim. The brisa is when you wanted to eat them as grapes. If you want to eat them as grapes, that's not the ultimate purpose of grapes. The ultimate purpose of grapes is wine. So if you're doing little by little and you're planning to eat them as grapes, then you could even do the whole field. Right? That's not called the katsira. Bramhacha, what's Rabbi Yossi talking about? Kshepikesh la'sosan yainosa. If you want to make it wine. If you want to make it into wine, even little by little, then you have to leave some over, or else that's called a katsira. And the Gemara explains each one, Rabbi Yossi and the Braisa, feed off each other. Hada yalfa minahi, v'yahi yalfa minada. Each one can learn from each other. Meaning one's about grapes and one's about grain. But the same yesod would apply. Are you harvesting it for the ultimate purpose of making a dough or making wine? Or you're harvesting it just to eat kernels and eat grapes. That's the difference. Hada yalfa manahi. Shembikesh lo'okla melilos afila lo shir. If you want to just eat it as kernels, then even if you don't leave it over. And Reb Yossi would agree to that. Would agree to that. Vahada yalfa manada, and the Braisa would learn from Reb Yossi. Shembikesh lo'shosan yain v'usha shir. Right? The Braisa is only talking about you want to eat it as grapes. If you want to make it into wine, then even the Braisa would agree that you have to leave some over. Because again, the reason that you are, what you are planning to do with the fruits, with the harvesting, impacts whether there's going to be a chiv epeya and whether that's called a harvesting, a kitzira, a significant kitzira. Because if it's just personal or you're using it for a secondary type of purpose, like grapes and stalks, so then that would be looked at as a lower level kitzira and therefore wouldn't be chiv and peya. Okay, we'll have to stop here. I was going to talk a little bit about Arla and Arla Daraisa today, but we'll see maybe at the beginning of tomorrow's year we'll get to that. Okay, we'll stop here.